Okay, I will use this late opportunity to wish David a happy birthday. and start my talk, which is based mostly on the paper written together with David Kutasov.
Could you speak a bit louder, please?
I'll try. With David Kutasov and Ivan Kostov, which was baptized KKK, as far as I know, or K3, as Chris proposed, and 3K probably, 3K, which is probably the only relation to the M-theory of this talk. And I'll try. I had a difficult problem to present a rather technical stuff, which was well forgotten already about 8 or 10 years ago. But some people here might know the technique of matrix models, but probably many younger people don't know. Please ask questions. I might explain something on the blackboard. There will be some technical questions. David complained that my transparencies on string 2001 were too dense.
So this is the dilute.
So, but he also told me at the same time that they were like pieces of art, presumably Oriental art. So I decided some of them should be exhibited again, but some of them I've blown up. It was probably one transparency in three, but all these three are covered by the same dense formulas. I'm sorry. So, but it's close enough, not like on strings 2001, one can see something. Okay, in fact, to find a black hole, a matrix model for the black hole was probably our main motivation, but in fact, we wanted to describe by the matrix model methods a big chunk of the theory, which is called two-dimensional, one plus one-dimensional bosonic string theory, such a sigma model action, which everybody knows, with two target space coordinates. One corresponds to one-dimensional embedding, and which will be periodized in a moment. It will be a periodic space. And the second one is the level dimension. And it's well known that the theory, its low energy action, admits two solutions. One of them is flat space with linear tachyon, with linear dilatron, and this exponential tachyon. And it's well described by the old matrix quantum mechanics in singlet sector. Non-periodic case was proposed, this original model was proposed in my old paper with McDowell. And the idea, let me remind quickly, the idea here is that we have some matrix action, matrix quantum mechanics, a nonlinear oscillator, matrix oscillator if you want, and we expand with respect to nonlinearities and look at the Feynman diagram technique. The Feynman diagram technique looks as planar graphs drawn by double line. In the Lagrangian limit, 1 over n expansion corresponds to the expansion over genera of these graphs according to the idea of Toft. And these graphs, as was proposed by François, David, and myself in 85, can be viewed as a model of a two-dimensional metric. And the metric, we sum up our metrics because we sum up our Feynman graphs. So it's a quantum 2D gravity. And this model was known to describe very well the case of the flat space. two-dimensional flat space background. Now, for quite a long time, another solution was known, a cigar space or the black hole, which was originally found by these authors. And here I wrote it in the gauge of, again, of a linear dilatron. Tachyon is put to zero, and you have such a metric here, which certainly is curved, and the geometry looks as this cigar with one periodic dimension and one dimension which lives in a half space starting from the tip of the cigar and goes into a flat cylinder, which is again described by this kind of theory. But something interesting happens around the tip of the cigar. Now, the model which we will propose and which will be completely based on an interesting conjecture of Fatyev, Zamolochikov, and Zamolochikov, which I'll be speaking later, the model will contain, will be based on the phenomenon of condensation of Kosterlitz, Taulis, Berezinski vortices on the world sheet, which vortices are a natural object or windings on the world sheet of such a theory. But we'll consider something which was never considered before, a dense phase of these vortices. This phase will be described by very non-singlet states in matrix quantum mechanics. The relation between vortices and non-singlet states was conjectured in the paper, in the old paper of Gross and Klebanov, which I will remember later a few times. Now, a few words about Fatyev, Zamolochikov, and Zamolochikov conjecture, which is a kind of weak, strong duality between various two-dimensional conformal field theories, two different conformal field theories. One is the famous Cosset model, which was claimed at least for some particular K by Witten and then Berlinde de Graaff as a string theory for the dilatronic black hole. And the so-called Sine-Liouville theory with the action, with the sigma model action, which is presented here. Note that, first of all, it is perturbed by a kind of Sine-Gordon term coupled to phi, to gravity, to Liouville field phi. And also, the cosmological term is put to zero. The cosmological coupling is put to zero. So essentially, we have only one coupling, lambda, and the free parameter, which is related to central charge. Q is the background charge. It's known to be related to C by this formula. We also have to choose carefully, in order for the duality to hold, to choose carefully D, and at the same time R, the dimensions of these operators. All the relations are here. If we match the central charges of the theory, first of all, we fix K in terms of Q, then the radius of asymptotic states far away from the tip of the cigar or far away from the from this same Liouville wall is the same, and is given also here. Now we can look at the dimensions of the states of operators in the Cosset model and vortex or winding operators in the sine Liouville model. Of course,
why
the dimensions.
Why do you write x left minus x right in the sine Liouville Lagrangian?
Because it's actually, it can be put also as just X. It's a matter of language. You can do T-duality.
That's an important
sign. Not really, because you don't have here excitations related to the momentum modes. So you can just do T-duality, at least perturbatively if you, for small lambdas, if you expand even lambdas, you can do T-duality and get X, L plus XR here. It will be the same X as here. So in principle, we can do this model as...
But in that way, you keep the amount of the translation symmetry of the center mass of them. In the black hole, you have the C1 symmetry.
Yes, but so the symmetry is broken here with respect to XL minus XR, but it's kept with respect to XL plus XR. Or you can... Yes, in this case, yes, this is a non-local operator which generates vortices. I just wanted to keep the correspondence of vortices. Okay, the dimensions coincide. Then FZZ checked also quite a large set of operators to coincide in these two theories, but and I don't give here the expressions, they are quite complicated, and it's not such a trivial coincidence of correlators in two theories. Then the actual known black hole, the Latonic black hole, is described by Cosette, by the Cosette model at C equal to 26, which corresponds to K equal to 9/4, or the compactification radius equal to 3/2. In the normalization where the Costa-Lizalis radius, where the vortices explode, is equal to 2. Both models, these models are soluble. They are completely integrable. I will actually give some explanations on the next transparency.
A question about the correspondence between the two models. So on the right hand side, at least for some range of Q, the sine of wave perturbation is normalizable. Right? If you look at its behavior in the recoupling region, then the wave function there is normalizable.
Yes.
And that maps to perturbing the to moving the tip of the cigar in the coster.
Yes.
But I mean, people usually say that moving the tip of the cigar in the coster is a non-normalizable perturbation.
Why is it a perturbation at all?
Well, I mean,
the tip of the cigar is fixed. Yes.
Yes, but think about
But here you say that in fact you don't have a very well established tip of the cigar.
Right, so that's fluctuating.
Here it's a different picture.
Right. So I mean, wonder like then on the right hand side, wonder if like a pole that's associated with the fluctuations of the sine of V that shouldn't be on the left hand side.
I'm not sure it's such a simple correspondence, this strong with duality, that it's the same Liouville field which you would take in this cigar. I'm not sure.
So there's another field on the left hand side that we call.
The only thing I can say that, of course, this term creates a wall, but a very specific wall in the Liouville direction. I tried to draw a picture of this wall. You see, it goes to the free theory at phi, big phi's, but then the exponential of phi blows up. But at the same time, in the x direction, you have fluctuations, yes? Mm-hmm. And there are valleys which are going up. There are valleys which are going down, better to say. And in principle, phi can escape. The wave function can escape. So the whole the fact that it's that the wave function actually becomes zero or goes rapidly to zero is a quantum fact. It happens quantum mechanically that this wall is impenetrable.
In what sense is it impenetrable?
The quantum wave function should be peaked in positive direction in positive directions of phi, and here it diminishes quickly. So, I mean. Naively, it will roll down.
For the wave function in that background, this will be falling.
I think so. So I cannot say how to solve it for the wave function, but at least...
it's not intuitively clear why.
You know, usually quantum mechanics allows you to penetrate something that cannot be penetrated classically, right? And you suggest that there is...
That's true, but on the same time, usually it's an exponentially small tail, with the region which is classically impenetrable. Yes?
Because this is classically penetrable.
Yes, but quantum mechanically it will be, again, probably exponentially small tail. I'm not sure, right?
I mean, those cases where something is penetrable classically but not quantum mechanically.
Yeah, they're all
explode-wise.
That's true. For example, these disorder systems. It's kind of a localization, for example, gives you an example. I think it's something like this. A localization phenomenon, maybe. But, of course, the arguments are based not on the direct calculation of the wave function.
So I just want to know, so you're saying that on the right-hand side, to see whether this perturbation is normalizable, I need to check also the strong coupling region and not just the weak coupling region? For the right-hand side. So it's not enough to check phi going to plus infinity to see whether it's normalizable or not?
I think so, but I don't know how to do it, but probably...
So in both cases, you don't see poles that correspond to this?
No. Okay, now... I will clarify it in the next transparency. At least it will be an example of it. But actually, already in 95, Vladimir Fateyev wrote a very nice paper, which was, I don't think, very much noticed, where this duality was already pronounced, but it concerned some massive models. Like here, you see a small modification of sine Liouville by this term, which makes it massive, indeed. But on the other hand, you can easily find a limit for m going to zero. This term disappears, but at the same time you send phi to, okay, d phi to infinity, in such a way that the product is fixed. So this term disappears because it has an opposite sign, and you go back to the conformal field theory. But this model was mapped by Fateyev to that kind of model, which is called Regelung model, which is actually integrable, which was shown by Regelung and Ulmayr to be integrable, and the S matrix was built as well. Here, Fateyev also built an S matrix of, I mean, factorized scattering. First of all, he noticed that there was a conserved current, higher conserved current, for the Hamiltonian of this model. So the model appeared to be completely integrable. That's why the factorized scattering theory exists. He guessed, although it's a bootstrap, it's not a direct proof, of course, he guessed after fermionizing the x direction, he guessed a matrix, which is kind of a Turing model coupled to gravity then. He guessed an S matrix, which is very simple and is the same as for this model. Then he matched weak and strong couplings by doing perturbative calculations from Beta-Ansatz equation in external field. Both theories have a U1 charge. Here it's obvious, here also it has a U1 charge. So you can impose the field corresponding to, external field corresponding to this charge, solve corresponding Beta-Ansatz equation in stroke and coupling, strong and weak coupling limits, and match everything. So it's a pretty strong evidence that these theories are mutually dual with this match of parameters, by the way. K here should be matched to B, which is the same relation as on the previous transparency between sine Liouville and the black hole. Here also M goes to zero. It gives you the usual black hole action in Kruskal coordinates, as far as I remember. So here's another evidence for this conjecture. and then correlators, which various correlators were calculated in the conformal limit by FZZ.
That's the S matrix for.
Yes, this is the S matrix for fermions here, for Turing fermions here, and it appears to be that the mu will is not visible in the spectrum. It's not a stable particle here.
So that's the S matrix for the CSG, the limit when n goes to zero.
Yes. Yeah. No. This is actually for any m.
M is Where is
M here? But the scattering theory actually probably doesn't see this parameter.
Well, it's strange.
Doesn't it lie by the mass of a particle?
Ah, you have a pole here, yes, you have a pole here which corresponds to the matrix.
The
matrix
appears just in a kinematics.
Right. Yeah.
To define the rapidity in the mass particle.
Yes.
And when it goes into rapidity. N goes to zero for the
S matrix. Oh, the S matrix for conformal field theory doesn't exist. Of course, there are no asymptotic states. So it's on the level of finite mass, it's proven, then you should believe that the theories have the same.
Okay, so why is it called Strong-Weak duality? Which parameters
are? I understand it in the following way. If k goes to infinity, it's a weak coupling regime for the black hole. When b goes to infinity, you can easily see that in the corresponding Turing model, it actually gives the weak coupling limit of interaction of fermions. Actually, this Turing-Sanger-Dohm correspondence is also an example of such strongly correspondence. So, and here, I understand it in the following way. If B is large, then the wave function is concentrated at small phis, so close to this Sanger-Lewis wall, where the interaction is big due to this term from this kind of...
Sorry. Maybe you said it, but M is the same parameter in both actions?
M is the same parameter, yes.
So if you take M to zero in the first one, you don't see the whole...
You send M to zero, but phi, you extract the zero mod from phi and send it
and
to...
And then you sell... Okay,
and you keep phi, you keep the product it. Fixed, and this term goes away because it's the opposite sign here.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm finished with the... duality, and everything I can say about the correspondence of the matrix model, which I'll give below, and the black hole is based on this duality, except probably we have some nice coincidences with the scaling of the black hole, but this duality is very essential for us. We are solving nothing but on the one side of this duality, only the Sanger-Lewis side. Okay, then now we go to the 2D string theory, which is not quite the same as the Sanger-Lewis theory, because here we have to fix the total central charge to 26, whereas in Sanger-Lewis theory the central charge varies together with the parameter R, with the compactification radius. So we fix C to 26, the background charge to 2, to minus 2. And now we have another, we have the following three parameters. R can be changed, lambda, which is the progressivity of vortices of windings, and also we can introduce the cosmological coupling. We can solve the model together with cosmological coupling. So I will show you that it's easier actually to see that this model coincides with Sanger-Lewis only with mu equal to zero and the radius equal to 3/2 or you see 2 is a natural coastal externalis radius here. And and the black hole corresponds to 3/4 of coastal externalis radius. We can immediately read off the KPZ-DDK scaling from this section, because we just look at the zero modes of phi. Here and here, we see that lambda scales with mu with this power, 2 minus r over 2. The g-string is 1 over mu, essentially. G-string scales as 1 over mu. We will now keep the notation 1 over mu instead of g-string, but remember that it's the same as g-string. And it's better to introduce one dimensionless parameter, z lambda, which is lambda squared mu to the r minus 2, and also g-string. Those are 2 parameters, physical parameters of the theory, apart from r, of course, which we can also change. If we look at the phase space of lambda mu, we see that this, for big enough, perturbatively, for big enough, for small enough g-string, we have here a curves of constant physics, let's say. Constant z corresponds to constant physics for each genus. Big mu, small g-string, corresponds to the perturbative region. Actually, the whole region for large lambda and mu corresponds to the perturbation theory in g-string. And here around the origin, we have some horrible non-perturbative phenomena, which we never were able clearly describe, even in terms of the matrix model, where things seem to be formulated in a non-perturbative way. So the old stuff of 10 years ago, the matrix model, describes well this line, with no lambda equal to zero, no vorticity, no winding modes, local winding modes. So all this line was well described. But our purpose now is to find the results for the whole plane, or at least perturbatively for its part far from the origin. Especially we want to describe the theory when it's strongly perturbed by vortices to such an extent that we really have a finite density of these vortices. KPZ-DDK scaling immediately allows us to formulate, for the string partition function, to formulate the genus expansion, which is 1 over mu expansion in our terms. So the first term is well known from both Liouville theory and matrix models. Now we have this new function A of z, of this scaling dimensionless parameter z. This is for the spherical limit. For torus we have also a known coefficient, which is T dual, as you see, R to 1 over R, as was noticed by Gross and Klebanov, as well as other terms, of course, in the absence of vortices, which is extracted from the matrix model, but also can be found in the Liouville theory formulation of 2D of 2D strings. Again, some correction depending on z, etc. The expansion with respect to the coefficients ah, which were numbers in the absence of vorticity, but now there are some functions, some universal functions of z, of course, which you have to calculate. Here I tried to present a diagram for both 2D string theory and Sine-Liouville theory. It's important to understand that they coincide only at the point where central charge versus the radius of compactification. So they coincide only at the point where central charge is 26, the radius is that of the black hole 3/2, and the phase which we are going to describe, it's a new phase which wouldn't exist without gravity. That's the gravity which makes things more interesting, which gives us this possibility to have a new conformal field theory in this window between self-dual radius 1 and Kosterlitz-Taulis 2. Say here, presumably, we flow to C equal to 0, there is no matter in the infrared, and we are back to the pure 2D gravity.
So in the large K limit, there just isn't such a correspondence?
K can be varied along this line, sine level or cosette model.
Right.
This is this line.
But you're saying that the correspondence is only where that line intersects the
cosette
line. And so if I want to say to look at more massive black holes, do I expect them to have a sine level description, or that's just a little bit weird?
That I don't know whether. Different case. Certainly, you have to say to change central charge. So you can, for example, add matter to the theory if you want to go in this direction, for example.
Well,
and in principle, it could be a string theory. Yes.
Yeah, well, I'm just thinking if you go back to the coset construction at large K, is that supposed to be equivalent to the Sine-Liouville?
Yes. When K goes to infinity, essentially you go this direction. It's far away here.
Yes,
this direction. But nobody knows.
Okay, you can still follow the correspondence.
Yes. Okay.
But could you remind us why does the torus amplitude depends logarithmically on the coupling constant? You know, kind of naively would expect that it will go like G to zero, which is mu to zero, but there is a speed dependence logarithm.
In fact, it can be nothing else because mu is 1 over G string, and here it's by definition of the order 1, but it cannot be a constant either, so it should be something logarithmic. One thing, but of course you obtain it also from the Liouville theory by performing the corresponding integrals over moduli. It's a well-known calculation done by, I think the first was done by Leshatsky-Kibanov. I didn't.
I will calculate about it. Log mu is the volume
of the space between actually I should have written mu over lambda over cutoff, so it's the volume of the space between the Liouville wall, which is infrared, and the cutoff wall, which is ultraviolet. And I will use this correspondence later, I hope. Now, the matrix model. And here I have pedagogical difficulties, maybe to compress everything in a couple of transparencies. This is already expanded, of course. This is one of three transparencies, which was on one. Yeah. No, I can't do anything. It's deeply psychological. I immediately start covering it by more formulas. It doesn't help. Okay. So this is the matrix model. X is time for this quantum mechanics. It's a matrix quantum mechanics, compactified on a circle of radius r. So we integrate here from 0 to 2 pi r, and we impose some special boundary conditions, twisted periodic boundary conditions. When the matrix variable goes around the circle, it acquires the SUN factor omega, which is natural in view of the SUN invariance of this model. Now we expand in G and formulate the Feynman diagram technique for this model. Of course, we use the Hopf argument of 1 over n expansion to classify the graphs according to the topologies. You see here the double line graphs, graph with only cubic vertices. In the vertices, you have the variable x corresponding to the time, xv in the vertex v, and xv prime in the vertex v prime, for example. Then, since the model is periodized, we actually have to introduce the number m, the integer number m vv prime, which is the winding number for this propagator. If we represent here the propagator, we have sums over windings m. So it's a new degree of freedom there, the discrete degree of freedom, the number of windings of the propagator. It's a usual one-dimensional propagator, but periodized. Another structure, we have more of a structure here in the propagator due to these omegas. We have omega to the m to this winding m, and direct product with omega dagger to the m. Omegas correspond to each of these index lines. Those are index lines. If we put everything together in this diagram technique, we'll see that each phase will acquire the way to trace omega to the number mf, where mf is, I didn't write m vv prime. This should be put here. Which is actually, you can view mvv prime as a gauge field describing the windings on the links, and mf is the vorticity, it's the algebraic sum of windings around the phase. So in fact, we can view each phase with the winding with the vorticity mf as weighted with the factor trace omega to mf. And all this starts reminding very much the old things related to postulates Stahlis. In fact, the model, the strict partition function as a sum over Feynman graphs can be represented as such a partition function which looks like what they call the line action for the model of planar rotators in the statistical mechanical language. Let's see what we have here. For each Feynman graph, we have to multiply all propagators, which have the following dependence on x and on m. We should integrate over all x's, sum over all m's. Then the weights will correspond to the vorticities flowing through each phase. So here is this product over phases. G to the k is usually corresponds to the expansion with respect to the size of the planar graph k. So G can be viewed as a cosmological constant. And we have a genus expansion according to Hopf rules. And if we had a square here, for example, it would be precisely the V-line action for vortices. But this one is good as well in virtue of universality, which we keep in mind. Any periodic action should give us in the universal limit the same answer. Okay, so that's...
The integral on xv is from minus infinity to
infinity? Actually, here it doesn't matter already, yes, because everything is periodized.
That's over 1 period.
Sorry? Over?
If you want to get a finite result, you should integrate over 1 period on
that. From zero.
Yes, you can also, you can integrate, for, of course, only from 0 to 2 pi r. But you also can, there is a really usual trick here to absorb the gauge transformations from M to axis, and then you can integrate from minus infinity to infinity. This is some standard technical stuff related to Costa-Liskalis. Okay, now... I wanted to describe what is what here, to remind you the correspondence with strings. So we have G-string expansion. This is clear in terms of 1 over n. The expansion with respect to sizes of graphs, which is just the area of the world sheet. The graph is understood as a world sheet. And sum over the graphs, it's like sum over quantum matrix. The rest I explained. Dx is the integral over the embeddings, of one-dimensional embedding coordinate.
So is there a logarithmic term here that depends on logarithm of g?
The same which you are asking, you have asked
not
about.
Here, no.
It's not here. You have to work a little bit on it to extract it.
You have a log g minus g graph.
Of course, but you have to, so you shouldn't sum directly these graphs, although we have done it a lot on computers in the old times, and they produced this log, by the way, but you should solve the solvable matrix model and extract it. Now, let's introduce, we already have the couplings corresponding to the vorticities in at each phase. It's trace omega to the n for each phase. But just from technical reasons, by technical reasons, let's change those couplings to t's, t plus minus 1, t plus minus 2, up to infinity, in the following way. Let's integrate the partition function of this matrix model over the twist angle omega with such a weight. So we have sum tn trace omega to the n. It's a kind of a Legendre transform from omegas to t's, but it's the motivation is mostly technical. And we also we can see that in fact tn also weights the vorticity of the charge n. It's based on the identities which I think were found by Mike Douglas in relation to the matrix models that maybe were known before, I don't know. It exists a kind of orthogonality between trace omega to the m and trace omega to the n, this kind of orthogonality. And it exists a kind of a weak relation also, that only this irreducible correlators are non-zero for the group integrations. It's SUN integration. So here you see that, in fact, if you integrate over omegas, here we have planar graph expansion, so each trace omega to the n in each phase will be coupled only to trace with the omega to with the same n, trace dagger omega to the same n. The sum goes from minus infinity to infinity. There are some subtleties which I wouldn't like to start explaining here, that say there is a self-coupling of these terms in the action. It can be taken into account. There are also some self-couplings here, since we integrate the partition function and not the free energy. It's kind of an annealed average. But in the double scaling limit, one can show that the correspondence is perfect, that we just substitute trace omega to the n in each phase by tn, by this transformation. So it's another ingredient. Now, let me explain what is the double scaling limit. Also the old stuff, but we should adopt it to our new model. If we look at the singlet sector, where we've put all the couplings Tn to zero, which means no vortices, no windings, then it's well known that the matrix quantum mechanics can be reduced to the dynamics of eigenvalues of the matrix M, which are free fermions, in this case in the cubic potential. So it's just a model of free fermions, one-dimensional fermions in the cubic potential. And in the ground state, they fill up. The Fermi C up to some level mu, chemical potential, and the whole critical phenomenon happens around the top of this inverted potential. In the Lagrangian limit, it's almost a perfect inverted oscillatorial potential, so we've come to such an action if we concentrate on this point. And the cubic term will serve as a cutoff wall somewhere far away from the top of the potential. It's some standard stuff, which probably I shouldn't explain more here. So we are led to the assumption now that we should use the same double scaling, although it's not that well motivated, in case of fixed omega or fixed T, in the non-singlet sectors. Mm-hmm.
I have a little problem with that, actually, if you can motivate that a little bit more, because usually the double scaling limit ensures that we are dealing with the smooth world sheets, like which you can
triangulate. That's what we have hope on here.
If you have vortex condensation, you might expect that the world sheet is sort of, you know, thrown apart, perhaps, and you might even have
that's true. You can
polymer phase. So then it's not very clear to me that the same double scaling prescription really holds if there is vortex condensation. I just would like to know your reason for believing.
I'm not sure these two issues are completely related. Of course, you have vortices, which you can view also as big holes in the world sheet, because if you have a vortex, this means that if you go around some infinitely small circles around this point, then the target space goes around the whole circle, yes? So you can view it as a big hole in the world sheet. But I'm not sure it's very much related to the double scaling limit. It's also a universal model having vortices. It has a universal behavior. I mean, here it's hard, of course, to motivate precisely here. Whether it's in case of free fermions, you can really have a perfect motivation of this inverted oscillatory potential. Here you hope that if you start switching on these T's little by little, that you can still keep this picture in mind that you have an inverted oscillator with the wall somewhere far away, which of course should be taken into account somehow. I'm not sure I sound convincing, but somehow I have no arguments except of the beauty of the formalism which follows, and also of course the results will be compatible with these dynamics of vortices. This will be established, but no rigorous motivation here. Okay, so we try to carry over this idea over of double scaling limit in terms of inverted oscillatorial potential over to the non-singlet sectors, which are not described by fermions. We can describe it by eigenvalues, by Hamiltonians in terms of eigenvalues of the matrix, but the statistics and the interaction of these eigenvalues will be very complicated. Say another word of motivation probably. If you start from the adjoint sector, which we studied, which David and Igor Klebanov studied, and then later we studied with Dima Bulatov, it spoils the statistics a little bit. You have n fermions, but you have n minus 2 more or less fermions and two and one particle, which is which spoils the statistics. Essentially, the statistics follows the Young tableau. You have symmetrizations, anti-symmetrizations. In case of singlet, you have fully anti-symmetrized wave function, but then it starts being spoiled. So little by little, you can switch on lower representations. But of course, if you go over to higher representations, and you need to go to very high representations with big Young tableaus, I cannot verify that this assumption is true, but it seems to be self-consistent, mathematically at least self-consistent. Okay, now another small technical step. We go over to the grand canonical partition function instead of canonical with fixed n, which is also a standard stuff in this two-dimensional string theory. It's a better variable, mu is a better variable than n, but in the larger limit mu scale is n. That's why we can use 1 over mu expansion as g-string expansion. Then, now since we have the inverted oscillator, a Gaussian system, we can integrate out the matrix degrees of freedom, and we can be left only with twist angles, which can be diagonalized in general. We just keep the z's, which are living on the unit circle, guiding values of twist matrix. Here is the result of computation which we have done with Bulatov in 91. And if one looks carefully at this representation in terms of n integral or...
What is lambda?
Lambda. Lambda is t plus minus 1. I took a special case of t. All t's are 0 except of t plus minus 1. And I call them lambda plus minus. Actually, this corresponds to the Sine-Liouville term. Since we know that this term generates vorticities of charge 1 according to this correspondence which I showed in previous transparencies. So we are already working with Sine-Liouville theory formulated in terms of matrices. In the dual language, of course, we use this compact string theory instead of directly generating vortices by the Sine-Liouville term. And if we look carefully at this integral, we will notice that, in fact, it's a tau function of Toda hierarchy. And even if we add all couplings with different powers of z, it will be a complete tau function with all Toda times, and we will uncover the whole integrable structure of this theory.
In fact, before or after the double scaling line?
This is after double scaling limit. It's, of course, very suspicious, I agree. It's inverted oscillator. The fact that it's inverted, of course, and very unstable, is seen immediately from this horrible pulse, which arise on the unit circle. You integrate over z's, but these factors are also unitary. You have a lot of pulse. Whereas for usual oscillator, it will be imaginary factors.
How do you have to choose your contours?
Now the question is how to choose the contour. And here we... Of course, we thought a lot about it, and there are some ideas. We know how to do it, by the way, for the singlet. Singlet would correspond to lambda equal to zero, and we know how to integrate over z's correctly. So there are some clues, but we decided we better stop thinking about it. But we try to formulate the Toda equations and view them as the right continuation of the whole stuff. analytical continuation, and the choice of the contour will be completely hidden, put under the carpet.
Then the problem is the exponential.
Huh?
The problem is the essential singularities.
Maybe, but Todd will show such a nice behavior that we decided not to think much about it.
The same contours as for the case when lambda equals zero, as we possibly have essential singularity. There's a contour prescription for lambda equals zero.
Yes.
Why didn't you just use the same one?
You know where it leads us, and I spent so much time after our paper with Bulatov to try to, and we spent with Dima in this paper, to calculate various partition functions for given representations. You can do it little by little, calculate various complicated representations, but it leads nowhere. You should sum up our representations, and here, of course, we already summed up our many representations with a specific weight. It's better to look at the integrable structure of the theory and try to use it.
Well, I in a paper with Dijkgraaf and Plusser, we also found Todorov function.
Actually, was it only for self-dual radios, I think? I saw this paper, but I think it was only for the self-dual radios.
I don't remember.
I think so.
Is it the same as the self-dual radios?
That we didn't know. I looked at this paper, and that's why I don't mention it. I couldn't understand whether it's the same Todorov. Some dual totem.
I'm sure ours as well.
It should be some relation. But
we didn't
it's
have
a good question.
Of contour definitions or anything like that. We had an exponential of some oscillators that you sandwich between.
You use some dual language, yes? You use the language of directly sandwiched on top of the gravity, more or less.
We use the prescription for calculating the double-scaled matrix correlators.
That's cool.
Yeah. In terms of what we call bounce factors. And we had a
I remember very well, of course, yes.
And so we had a very explicit formula for the Todorov.
Of course, but as for Todorov,
it was the Todorov hierarchy.
I remember the mentioning. I had an impression that it was only for the self-dual radios. Maybe.
I don't think that's really important because there's a way of changing the radius by acting with R d by du over R d.
Oh, maybe I didn't pay enough of attention to it. Maybe we'll discuss it.
How are you getting that from one?
Maybe we should do that until afterwards. There was an old formalism for calculating C equals 1 correlators. With Roman and Robert, we actually summed up all possible correlators in terms of a Todorov function.
You
send in bosons, the bosons are secretly fermions. Yeah. The fermions have some free scattering off the wall with some phase vectors, which are these bounce factors, and then you rebosonize.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be implemented.
Of course, those are free fermions as well.
That is just the single.
It's not completely the same, you know.
That's one of the very, very surprising things, because he's going to end up producing, when he writes down explicit correlation functions, he gets the same. And that's exactly why I'm asking the question at this point, if it's the same Todorov.
You know, your fermions are not very different. You had also free fermions, but this is for eigenvalues of the original matrix, because you didn't have periodic space, you rather had explicit perturbations in terms of this vertex of this momentum modes. But here we use the windings. This Z corresponds to a different degree of freedom.
As far as I can tell, it's the same answer, and that's what's
the answer.
Same answer for what?
It's the same function that he's getting.
We'll come to it. Let me show to everybody, then we'll discuss it.
So, as he said,
this will be the next.
If R is self-dual radius, then all the momenta are integer. Then you can change the radius by a well-known formula.
That's true. Now we'll come to your formula. Actually, you were very close to proving your formula, your conjecture, if you used Todorov, maybe. Okay, now let's calculate by this method the sphere partition function. As I showed on one of the previous transparencies, we have this DDK scaling for various genera, and we can use now the scaling to calculate the spherical partition function. The usual quantity to use is the susceptibility, the string susceptibility, which is the second derivative in mu of the string partition function. It should have the following behavior. It's already, you know, since lambda and mu are related by scaling, I wrote I picked up log lambda instead of log mu, but in principle it's a matter of notation. This factor which depends on scaling, plus a function of y, which is, I had functions of z, but y is just some power of the scaling variable, which I find more convenient. Mu over some power of lambda, it's this dimensionless variable. Ah, something is wrong here. I think one transparency is missing because I wanted to present. I actually didn't finish my last transparency. Sorry. So I started already from Toda, but I didn't. Since this is a tau function of Toda, we can immediately write Toda equation, Toda chain equation, which is written directly in the space of physical parameters.
So I is the square root of minus one.
Exactly. So we move into in the imaginary direction because of the fact that the oscillator is inverted, actually. So this is a standard Toda equation for directly for the string partition function. So we can just impose scaling on it and try to find the results for various string amplitudes. Of course, we have to have some boundary condition, and the natural boundary condition is, of course, the formula of Gross and Klebanov, found in 1990 from the Fermi. This describes the singlet sector of the matrix quantum mechanics, which corresponds, as I showed already, to the unperturbed by vortices, C equal to one string.
That is the second layer equation, one boundary condition.
That's a good question. Actually, you know, the expansion, we know also another boundary conditions, that df d lambda is zero, because f starts from lambda square for any mu. So it's another ingredient. Vortices and anti-vortices come only in pairs. It's a neutral sector of this theory. Here is a function, and even one can think of some non-perturbative interpretations of this result, but people spend a lot of time thinking on it.
I remember boundary conditions of lambda plus equals zero, lambda minus equals zero characteristics.
Yes, yes. It's for lambda equal to zero.
No. Either one of lambdas.
No, both lambdas are zero. Then, actually, for the partition function, we'll need only lambda plus equal to lambda minus. It's a radial. No, actually, the in radial coordinates.
In such equations, it's very natural to look at the boundary conditions on characteristics. Lambda plus equals zero, lambda minus equals zero.
Yes, but you need, of course.
He's asking, is lambda plus the complex conjugate of lambda minus, or is lambda plus and lambda minus independent real variables?
No, they're complex conjugate.
Oh, but they always have to occur together in series, right?
That's true, but what we will do, for example, we'll look at this. In fact, everything enters, you'll see that here, just by symmetry, only lambda plus lambda minus enters, the product enters the transfer.
Symmetric, you can reduce this.
No, of course, we'll immediately reduce it to the radial part. That's what we will do. Okay, so, and we have this expansion corresponding to genus expansion of the two-dimensional string. And in fact, we will match various orders of this expansion with the solution of this equation. We'll solve this equation order by order.
Does this top function satisfy any linear differential equations?
No, tau function, of course, satisfies. And this is the equation on tau function.
W constraint.
It's not enough, literally.
I'm just asking whether it does or not.
There are probably some W constraints, but we use... I will come to it late. Actually, how much time do I have? Maybe a little bit more? Okay, thank you. No, I should dig out the transparency which I wanted to show first, this one. Okay, now some results, because this is a very powerful formalism to the hierarchy. We can immediately extract curious results which are certainly unavailable by continuous methods, by the methods of conformal field theory. Some of them are available, but very few. So we impose this scaling. I started already explaining it, and plug it into the Toda equation. Of course, all these discrete derivatives differences become just the second derivative of the function x, which is a part of string susceptibility. X up to this logarithm is the usual string susceptibility. You solve this equation with corresponding boundary conditions, you get such a solution, almost explicit solution. I mean, you have to solve this equation of arbitrary order and find f0 as a function of pi. And you use simple formulas out of the textbook to expand x0, x0 with respect to y, this parameter, and to we were really happy to reproduce at some point Greg Moore's formula, which he found, or rather conjectured. He found this formula by just matching the few first orders of this expansion found by his technique. I think it was in the paper of Plesser, Rangulam, and Greg. And he looked at the zeros of this polynomial, which is the ratio of gamma function, polynomial of R. Notice that these zeros are equally distanced, and just proposed this formula. Then it appeared to be correct. I wonder why didn't you sum up into this one?
I just thought it was just stupid.
Because you've done the main thing. What is now? It's interesting to discuss this formula because this is the expansion for small lambda. We take into account one after another the sectors of vorticity n. It means that you have n vertices and anti-vertices. So you, for small lambdas, you have very few vertices here. But then we noticed in our actual paper, K3, that in this region, for R varying from 1 to 2, we can continue this result analytically to very big lambdas or small mu's, which is the same. And we can re-expand everything in... This was an expansion in 1 over y, essentially. But here we can re-expand it in y.
So that series has a... the first series, what series is convergent?
It's convergent.
Up to... for all lambda?
Finite
it's a finite,
radius.
Of course, it's a finite radius of convergence, which was analyzed.
Did I give it?
No, I didn't give this formula. It's
ratio
kind of
mu to lambda.
Mm-hmm.
Some number.
Yeah. But actually, the beginning of this critical line, people even studied bilingual theory and found some correspondence. There were papers of Schmidt, Huber, and Bjorn, and somebody, I forgot the name. They studied bilingual theory by the renormalization group approach in the target space, and they found the formula compatible with the shape of this critical line as a function of R. They studied, of course, the vicinity of Costellus Taurus phase transition point, because there the perturbation is small. Okay, so we can re-expand everything in powers of 1 over lambda to some power. And this is supposed to be the limit of Sine-Liouville theory, because we send mu, now we can send mu to 0, to make it very small.
Yeah, how did you do it? You sum that exactly, or you just re-expand it?
You can, actually this formula admits...
No, and Barnes technique.
Yeah, or you just use the upper formula.
Yeah, there exists a strange self-duality in this formula. You can map. It's almost the same expansion. You see, essentially, you change 2 minus r over, to 1 over 2 minus r. It's a strange duality, which for the moment we observed only for the sphere. I don't know what it means. Maybe something deeper than we think. So if I... Okay, I won't show, the time is short, I won't show this diagram, new lambda diagram, which I've already shown. It's precisely what we have done, which I showed there. We managed to continue analytically the phase with no vertices to the phase, to the region in this phase space with dense gas of vortices. So this expansion already is around some new background. This is supposed to be relevant to the black hole, although the scaling is correct, but we don't know yet much of black hole physics out of it. Okay, and then the next technical achievement, but it also helps in physics. We calculated the genus 1 partition function again, as in terms of this scaling parameter y. It's the exact formula for the torus, which starts from the following term for lambda going to infinity. I especially picked up the asymptotics for big lambda here, and the rest gives the exact correction to it. It's very curious. It has a very curious shape, form. Say log 1 minus something suggests that we sum up over some states running around the torus if we expand with respect to this term. The result is expressed through x0, which is the x solution, which is x0 is related to y by this formula. Now, we can even, this is some mistake. This is the second derivative, d2 mu of f. This is the susceptibility. No, this is the partition function, sorry. This is a real partition function. It starts from log. Actually, we can now send lambda to infinity, which is the same as sending y to 0, and we can extract another asymptotics from f of big lambda, and we see some term of the type a, some universal coefficient a, by the way, times m, where m is already related to the parameters of the black hole, as it should be in the Cosette model following from FZZ conjecture. M is lambda to 4 over 2 minus r, which scales like g string minus 2. So it's supposed to be the mass of the black hole at r equal to 3 half. And then we have the logarithmic correction which comes from here. So it's the one loop correction to...
Where you throw away some non-universal terms?
Of course, there are some non-universal terms. And
where were they before you put them in the way?
it's F minus F zero essentially. The toda doesn't contain already non-universal terms. Since you are in the double scaling limit, you have always we only speak about F minus F zero, where F zero of lambda is all this garbage.
That was lambda some power.
That was probably
that was
the expansion in. Yes. I think it was the expansion in just integer powers of lambda. That's why it's it should
any
can be dropped.
For any R?
For any R, I think so. Although it's hard to speak about this non-universal stuff because Toda doesn't notice it. Okay. I have virtually no time to talk about correlators, but we managed to calculate. Let me just show this transparency. In principle, we can now put more couplings into this theory, related to all higher correlators with higher windings, with higher vorticities. The TM is coupled to higher vorticity. Now, tau function is supposed to describe this theory. Tau function with all these couplings, TM omega to the n, where n goes from minus infinity to infinity. So this is already the main conjecture. Technical conjecture is that this theory is described by Toda, and TN are the times of commuting flows for Toda hierarchy. And we can use Toda machinery to compute the correlators of vorticities. I will show just the result.
What's the space-time picture? Remind me of what these perturbations are. Back of the black hole, background, super large case.
From the point of view of Sine-Liouville theory, you just pack the vortices onto the world sheet.
Okay, so what about on the cosine side? You're on the the space-time side in string.
Then, in the cosine, you know, it's a cigar.
Background. Looking at some perturbations.
If you put on perturbations, you just send. You can look at the S matrix of windings which you send from far away from the cigar. Then they are described by the operators in this weak coupling limit. The asymptotic states of windings are described by these operators. You send them to the tip, then they reflect. And for example, the winding is not necessarily conserved. So this is the calculation of this S matrix, which can be done because we can calculate, at least in this formalism of Toda, we can calculate various quantities. For example, such a correlator, which is take your own winding M correlator essentially. We found the following simple I should tell that this is not yet published, but it's the work done with my student Sergei Alexandrov. So we have such an equation where S is related to X is the generating parameter for this correlator, and S is some function of X naught. This free energy moves free energy given by this formula. I explicitly wrote Y, this variable Y, in terms of this ratio. Then we also calculated the two-point functions in terms of this one-point function, which of similar vorticities and opposites. The sign can be similar and opposite, and there are two different expressions for them, which are here in terms of this H function. Okay, just for your information. And we can extract, by the way, the average of vortex operator, which is given by this formula. It's to compare in principle with Sine-Liouville calculation, which is with FZZ calculations, which is not yet done. The comparison has some problems in it. Usual when you compare matrix models with model results and continuous results. Okay, and Sorry?
In the case of C equals 1 north, then what is lag?
Lag factors. Of course, that's the first thing to expect. FZZ analyzed mostly the conformal field theory without relation to a string. So, for example, they announced that the average of any operator is zero, as it should be in conformal theory. But, of course, we know that there are divergences and there should be, there shouldn't be necessarily zeros. I think they are aware of it. They mostly talked about conformal field theory and not about strings. So, but there is a work to be done, of course, in this comparison. I have some remarks about the entropy.
There's no cutoff.
Okay, I especially put it to the end, but especially
we've got a little while before the
next. I especially put it to the end because I hope to prolong my talk, and second, because I hope not to prolong it too far enough, because I don't know little about entropy in this model. So let's discuss what is entropy in 2D string theory. It's very easy to discuss the phase R more than RKT, costless Taulis radius. There, the vortices die out, as you can see in comparing this vortex-anti-vortex correction to the function, to the partition function of the string without vortices. This term was observed by Gross and Klebanov again, and they, by comparing these terms, they concluded actually that the point of phase transition is that it is shown here. You see, here it's m square, here's m to the r. Comparing these two powers, you see where one of the terms is important. So now we are in the phase where there are almost no vortices, and we can calculate the energy. We take into account only one loop correction here. The entropy can be calculated. So beta is just 2 pi r here. The entropy can be calculated just as a difference of energy and free energy. And all these parts proportional to r drop out. It's just the ground state. And what is interesting is 1 over r correction, of course. It gives these asymptotics, this result. Then, as it was already said, log mu over lambda is the volume of the neural direction between two walls, infrared and ultraviolet. Then just plugging everything, expressing the entropy in terms of energy, we get this nice formula, which everybody recognizes. It's the entropy of massless tachyon in 1 plus 1 dimension. This is one of the results, which see how well the Liouville theory and matrix models match together. Now the hardest part comes, how to interpret our black hole results, the black hole limit, where we have the free energy given by this expansion to first terms. Here I'm not that sure in the interpretation. First of all, we have some non-zero term, universal term, in the free energy already in the spherical limit. Whereas it is known from the paper of Gibbons and Perry, which calculated the entropy along the guidelines of Gibbons and Hawking results, we know that actually the free energy should be zero. here we don't see this immediately, but the only thing we can say that for r equal to 3/2, we have an integer power of lambda, which might be just a non-universal term, which we should drop out. I'm not sure that it's the right procedure, but at least it's some proposal. Then we stay with logarithm, which is the correction which we have to take into account in order to correct the Gibbons and Perry result. We also know from FZZ correspondence that the mass should scale as lambda to the 8 according to the scaling.
We say this is a non-universal result because it's not singular.
Yes, I'm not sure this is only a proposal. I don't pretend on the right explanation of Gibbons and Perry.
Sorry? Gibbons and Perry was just the usual.
Yes, but they really talked about this part of the free energy, about the classical part of the free energy. So we have this result for varying R.
Right.
We have to interpret it somehow.
Right.
We have non-zero, so it has to be understood. The only proposal is to subtract this term.
On the philosophy, if you don't understand something, subtract it.
Because it has a non-universal power. It has an integer power. After all, this corresponds to...
Yeah, it's an integer power for certain rational values of R.
That's true.
But first of all, I guess what's confusing is... I was getting back to the non-universal parts which we were constructing. In your construction, it looked as if you were keeping all the universal pieces.
Yes, and this was a universal piece, of course, with this problem.
Yeah.
And A has a very special expression through R. It's quite a universal coefficient.
So
I'm not sure I'm...
It doesn't look non-universal.
It doesn't look non-universal. I agree. But,
and second of all, the matrix model, the 3/4 R times 2 is the cigar. But from the point of view of the matrix model, this thing should make sense for any R.
That's true.
And
it's strange that it would be strange to drop it, to throw it away in one particular point. I agree.
The mass and lambda, is that R dependent or is that for every R that can
Again, what is mass for R non-equal to? We have this interpretation of mass only for the black hole.
The free energy,
no, I understand, but I'm just... that relation can only be written down for R plus 3. There's no other...
Yeah. Then maybe it has some meaning of mass.
Yeah. But you know, this cell duality that to minus R can be changed to 1 over 2 minus R.
It says R minus 2 to 1 over R minus 2. You mean
right.
Duality which...
Right, of the free energy formula. So if you substitute R equals 3/2, 2 minus 3/2 is 1/2. If you invert to get 2 and 2 minus 2
it will
is 0.
Be 1/2, yes.
So the dual value to 3/2 is R equals 0, right?
Ah yes, R equals 0, you're right, yes.
Does it have an interpretation?
R minus 2 goes to 1 over R minus 2.
Right.
The dual value is 3 or 1.
No, 0.
It's 0.
What?
I remember it's 0.
2 minus 3/2 is 1/2, right? Then you invert it.
R minus 2 equals 1 over R minus 2.
Not equal to 3.
I don't know what it means. Of course I noticed it, but I don't know what it means.
I'm not sure that it's special. Cannot you derive this concept?
No, but you, at the same time you exchange lambda and mu, of course.
Oh,
it's not that you can draw some conclusions about the black hole side.
The duality from this duality.
No, you just invert this parameter y to 1 over y, something like this. It's also a kind of...
What do you mean by the contribution of the Dillon-Kahn charge?
actually, by Gibbons and Perry had this contribution which made free energy non-zero, of course. This is the contribution of this bulk of the cylinder, bulk of the cigar, flat space, which they subtracted as a non-universal term. So one can speculate about that this contribution comes from this bulk of the cigar, which might be also true, but I have some doubts in it. Now I just tell you something which I'm not sure at all about, because the coefficient A looks quite universal, whereas this bulk contribution, I think, contains cutoffs in A. So I'm not sure it's the right interpretation. I mean, it's the thing which is left to understand. For the moment, everything we have, we can describe one of two models which are related by the FZZ duality. And it seems that everything fits well on this side. Sine-Liouville theory can be described as the matrix model. We have little evidence of black hole physics from our model. But we also see that we can analytically continue to the black hole region. I mean, we can send the cosmological coupling to zero, and then it means that we are in the phase which in Sine-Liouville is supposed to describe the black hole.
So the log n term, that's the torus term.
Yes, this is the torus contribution, and this coefficient gives this peculiar number.
And that has negative specific heat.
Yes, that's what I wanted to tell in the next transparency. But maybe there is not much to say here. We just try to calculate. We try to speculate in our paper about the fact that the Hawking temperature for this model is a phase transition temperature. And we see that if we go to the canonical ensemble, from grand canonical, well, the entropy, we want to calculate the entropy and the correction to the entropy. We claim that this nu is a universal coefficient related to our torus partition function. To see in what way we plug this formula into grand canonical partition, we calculate the canonical partition function, which contains such a singularity. Then we use this result to find the dependence of mass with respect to the temperature, although we understand that we are working around the singularity of beta, a little bit less than beta h. For then we can match this nu to our coefficient 13/288. Nu plus 1 is equal to minus 13/288. And we see also from here both numerator and denominator are negative, we see the unstable thermodynamics. But frankly speaking, I don't know whether this calculation can be justified, and I don't see how to introduce in the reasonable way the temperature into our model. Another point of view would be to view our radius of the as the inverse temperature. This seems to be the most plausible in this construction. We have a compactification radius, we solve the string theory in periodic space. Why don't we view this radius as inverse temperature? But it leads really to weird results. If we calculate the energy we get out of our spherical partition function, such a formula, which shows that something is going on around the Kostelitz-Taulis phase transition, but it doesn't show any signs of the black hole radius 3/2, that something is going on there. On the other hand, it's true that none of these two approaches is well justified. After all, we don't know how to probe the energy in this model. Why R should be the right parameter to probe the energy? This is an open question which I would address to the specialists in the black hole physics. Okay, just the conclusions follow. This first part already was...
Genus 2 would be very interesting.
Genus 2, actually, we found differential equations. I forgot about this year remark. David suggested that if we see non-stable thermodynamics on the level of one loop, it should lead to some singularities, tachyonic singularities, something like this, on the two-loop level. Everything shifts by one loop with respect to the string theory, to the higher dimensional string theories, where the instability, say, in Schwarzschild, the stability is seen already on the classical level, then it corresponds to the tachyon on the one-loop level. Here, everything shifts one order up. It might be very interesting, of course, to calculate it. The problem, and we wrote the differential equation, linear differential equation of with polynomial coefficients. It's for any order, order of loop expansion. We can use the results from for n minus one previous loops to plug it into the equation, into the linear equation, which looked to us very much like Riemann differential equation, but not quite. So maybe it's completely solvable, or at least on the computer, it's an ordinary differential equation. It's certainly very well formulated for the computer problem, but it's not done yet. You have really to solve this equation in order to extrapolate from small lambdas to big lambdas. You can't just investigate it perturbatively. Okay, and some conclusions. First of all, an interesting question is about the momentum modes. We know how to calculate the correlators of the winding modes. We know that winding modes are completely described by Toda hierarchy. The momentum modes are more complicated. In principle, one can start calculating them in the matrix model, but we don't see any integrable structure under it. So it seems to be not integrable, and Spenta-Radier made this interesting comment that maybe if we switch on the momentum momentum modes, and we have to take them into account somehow, because we have this wall in the matrix model which already is a sign of these momentum modes, then maybe it can explain why the black holes in two dimensions can form at all, since there is no integrability. Spenta says maybe we can study, there is no reason for the system not to be thermalized. That's an interesting comment, I found it. Okay, so now the matrix model gives the direct way for the Minkowski continuation, because we can write the Hamiltonians, at least in various representations, in terms of eigenvalues, which look as follows. Here is the linear, some inverted oscillatorial part, and there is a collodion type interaction with the spin structure. Taus are the generators of SUN in the representation R. And our partition function, in principle, is a sum of representations of various Hamiltonians, the partition functions of Hamiltonians in given representation.
What about the twisted boundary conditions?
Here already they are used to project onto a given representation. After all, it's a dual language. We either fix twisted boundary conditions, or we can project using this twist. We can project onto a particular representation.
They fix the statistics of the activity.
That's true. The statistics somehow is built in into the generators here, because statistics should follow the symmetry of the Young tableau. So it's very curious to try to use all this machinery, which is very complicated for big representations. We really need big representations, as we... It is integral in some sense, because it's an interesting problem which I thought for a long time about. If you take normal matrix oscillator, then you, of course, it's for each representation you can calculate the partition function, which is just a bunch of sum over oscillatorial levels with special multiplicities, which one can calculate. We calculated many examples of that with Dima Bulatov in our paper for various quite general representations. But once you invert the oscillator, the levels are not equally spaced. You know the wave functions, but you have to build out of these wave functions some functions corresponding to the correct boundary conditions with the wall at infinity. This is a very nice mathematical problem, which somehow we managed to avoid by using TODA. After all, you can do the same calculations by just differentiating with respect to the TODA times, to the coupling STN, to the TODA partition function. Okay, but maybe this action can give us a clue how to generalize the Das-Jovitsky-Polchinsky collective field action in presence of vortices. And maybe this term is responsible for the curved metric, because after all, this Das-Jovitsky-Polchinsky action is the only way to formulate the target space picture in this model. So it's, it would be very interesting to see it from here. And also we need more evidence of black hole physics from matrix quantum mechanics. After all, what is special about this point 3/4 of Costellus Taurus in the matrix model? Thank you.
Any more questions? Okay, thanks.